poor Paul Manafort. Wonder how prison is going to suit him for the long haul. The judge today ruled that, yes, indeed, he did what we all believed and knew he probably did, which was lie, omit, and attempt to mislead the investigators as part of his plea deal. And look, you know, that's the thing. When you make a plea deal, you got to bring them something and attempt to, be honest. And this is what happens when you think you're the smartest guy in the room. And it turns around and it bites you right in the behind. And hey, Paul, good luck. Good luck in prison. That smartest guy in the room thing is going to help you real, real well there. Anyway, let's find out what's going on in Washington, D.C. and around the world. Justin Duckham, Talk Media News. Justin, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, great to be here. And if that shows anything, it probably just, displays that if you are in trouble and you are granted leniency, you maybe shouldn't do anything to screw that up. And that's something that, AMI could certainly take a lesson from. If somebody gives you immunity for something, maybe don't turn around and do something almost immediately after that would put you in some pretty strict legal jeopardy. I'm not a lawyer, but that's just sort of my friend-to-friend advice.
No, that's kind of one of those things that, your parents told you when you were a little kid. It's one of those things that I tell my kids. We'll come to them. If something's broken or something happens, we go to them and say, tell the truth. And if you tell the truth, chances are we're not going to be, we'll be a little upset, but you're not getting any trouble. You lie about it, big trouble, because it's now more than just whatever it was. It's now you lied. And I think it should be more doubly trouble for him just because of the fact that he lied.
Well, exactly. Now, especially with Manafort now, when you have this so clearly on the record, this is an opportunity for everyone to basically make a lesson out of him. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this have, more stronger repercussions than we would see than a lot of other people in less public situations.
So any chance now, I'm sure the buzz now is going to be, is there going to be a pardon? Because, he tried to be a stand-up guy, even though it has now bitten him in the backside. Any chance that there could be a pardon in the future, you think?
Trump has avoided directly addressing that, saying, he hasn't thought about it, he hasn't said it. The White House has skirted around that issue. But time and time again, the president has said that Paul Manafort is a very good person. I think, you can read between the lines over why exactly Manafort was lying, and whether or not that was to protect the president, or to protect himself, either way, that probably is something that would endear him to people who could be possible targets for what he was trying to cover up. So I think a possibility for a pardon for Flynn or Roger Stone is more likely, but when it comes to Paul Manafort, you never can really tell.
Yeah. You think for Stone? I mean, Stone was such a minor actor. I don't know.
Well, you had the president already talking about how he was treated unfairly, trying to accuse the FBI of wrongdoing for apparently tipping off CNN, which, appears to have not happened, but that hasn't stopped the president from tweeting about that and other Republicans from basically treating that as a matter of fact. And Roger Stone has been a longtime Trump ally, probably one of the few people who Trump would actually consider a friend.
Yeah.
Beyond, maybe Vince McMahon. So I think that's still a possibility, and one that we haven't had clearly ruled out yet by anybody involved.
Yeah, you make a good case for it. You're probably right. Although, look, I don't think he was mistreated. If you watch the video, which I did, at no point was he in any real peril. In fact, it seemed all kind of, just kind of all laissez-faire. If they came to my door, they'd have probably kicked it in and thrown me to the ground, broke a bunch of stuff. It just seemed fairly, fairly lax in its, its timing. They just knocked on the door and asked the guy, never mind.
Also wearing a Roger Stone did nothing wrong t-shirt. So you have to imagine that they gave him the opportunity to choose that t-shirt, or he's somebody who just goes to bed wearing t-shirts, declaring his own innocence on a regular basis. Either one of those, just raises some pretty interesting questions.
Or like the rest of us, he was expecting him to be arrested on Friday, which is why the CNN reporter was camped out. Because I was talking about this on the Thursday before. He's next, and it's Friday. everything seems to happen in Mueller world on Friday. I don't know why that is. It just seems that's how it works itself out. Anyway, well,
see. That's when they meet in D.C., and that's when we see a lot of that action take place.
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily by accident. It's not necessarily a strategic Friday news dump or anything like that. That's just the day that they've chosen to operate on. And so far, as you mentioned, it has been a pretty good predictor.
Yeah, so there you go. Let's talk shutdown. There's a deal, I guess. Trump's not happy. I shouldn't say Trump's not happy with it. Sean Hannity's not happy with it. Therefore, Trump's not happy with it. Any thought that gonna sign it, not gonna sign it? We got a shutdown Friday. What's going on?
So Trump has said that he has not committed to it yet. He's saying that he wants to go through it and see if there are any quote unquote landmines. You know, poison pill is usually the word that we use in this case, but Trump's still sort of new to Washington, I guess. Yada yada yada. So what we're also hearing though from behind the scenes is that he is likely to sign it. That doesn't necessarily carry a lot of weight, since we've previously heard similar messaging coming out back before the shutdown, before those 35 days, where
right.
we had the president and the press secretary all but signaling that it was a sure deal with the CR, that they were going to avert the shutdown last minute and then just sort of work from there. And then that collapsed almost at the last minute, just hours before the House was set to take on the continuing resolution and keep things there. So even though we're seeing, you know, some more optimistic than usual language coming from the White House, coming from the president in particular, this is one of those things where we have an erratic president, and this could certainly change on a dime.
Yeah, well, we'll see what his, you know, what his cabinet over at Fox News has to say, and then I'm sure he'll make the decision once they've told him what to do.
Yeah, I mean, we have Sean Hannity saying that this is the opportunity to declare a national emergency. Others who have typically had his ear have been lashing out pretty heavily. So, you know, it doesn't look like it's pleasing them any, you know, very, very much. But the president has been maintaining that, you know, all options are on the table. He's going to be able to basically reroute funds somehow, even though that raises some pretty big issues when it comes to court challenges, and still get this done. And, of course, they've been changing their messaging now to say that the wall is already currently being built, pointing to pre-existing approved projects for repair or new barriers
right.
or fencing, none of which were actually representative of what the president has previously asked for. But, you know, that seems to be a message custom-made more for the president's supporters than, you know, anybody who's watching this objectively.
Yeah, what do you think of Dana Rohrabacher's suggestion of a hemp concrete wall?
A hemp concrete wall? I don't think I saw that one. What? Is that real?
It's one of those things that I saw, and I'm like, I don't know. Is that even a thing?
I don't think I've heard of that. But you know, that would certainly make it more appealing to Mitch McConnell, I guess. Kentucky's pretty big on hemp, so maybe. No, I mean, like, McConnell's like, he's a hemp guy. It's a weird little thing about Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those things that Rohrabacher tweeted out a while ago. He tweets out, kudos, a hemp-based concrete border wall, a win for U.S. security and taxpayers, farmers, veterans, and environmentalists. Bold thinking, it's affordable and will work. See Bud Trader's white paper. And, you know, look, I'm assuming, you know, his gig is now as a lobbyist in the hemp field. So.
Yeah. I got to say, I haven't seen that previously. But, you know, if you got to have a wall, I guess you might as well use hemp.
There you go. I did not even know that it was a thing. Hemp concrete. I know hemp is, but not the concrete part of it. I guess, I don't know. So there you go. Let's move on. Golf simulator. Hey, evidently Trump's taking a little heat for a $50,000 golf simulator in the White House. Is that a big thing?
Yeah, so this is something that the Washington Post reported on today, and this is just one of those weird little head scratches that comes out about this administration and, you know, gives everybody, I guess, time to pause and just reflect on who it is exactly was elected. So in this instance, there is a room-sized golf simulator that the White House has employed for the president. This is something apparently that had roots in the Obama administration, but, you know, like many of the things that Trump lashes out against, I guess what they initially had wasn't good enough. So there was apparently a $50,000 upgrade to the system, something that Trump paid for out of pocket, where we are told, according to reports. But nevertheless, you also have to take into account that apparently he has never used this.
See, now here I was going to go and give him credit for, hey, this is part of his exercise regime. You know, it's, you know, he's taking the doctor's advice. You know, and you know, this is, you know, how he clears his mind. And now you're telling me he doesn't even use the damn thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so he's gone 69 days without golfing, you know, 69 days where he claims that he never left the White House, even though he took a trip to Texas, held a rally, and also went to Iraq, and apparently never found the time to take it out of the box, even after Christmas, where, you know, that's usually what you do in those days after. So, again, just a strange story and, you know, some pretty compelling insight into the mind of the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, I just need a new toy, I guess. Because I saw the headline, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Is this a big deal? I mean, Nixon had a bowling alley, I think. Didn't Eisenhower put in something of a pool of some sort? Or that
yeah,
was Camp David.
Yeah, Eisenhower also apparently had a, you know, little putting green installed in the Oval Office that he kept under a rug that Kennedy would show off when people came over, you know, to kind of needle him on that. Obama had a putting green outside. But this one is just a it's not an important story, but it's still just – it's weird, right?
Come yeah, on. I love the fact that he has the punchline is he didn't use the damn thing. How many of us could just piss away $50,000 and not play with your new toy?
That's exactly what I was thinking as well. That's it must be nice, right?
Yeah, that's a whole year's salary for virtually 60% of the population.
Yeah.
Just not a toy he hasn't opened. Well, look, you know, that's why he's a billionaire, because he just throws money down a hole. Or maybe he's not. So there you go. And finally, NASA. They are saying that Opportunity is dead. What's that? What's going on?
Well, it's just, you know, that's just an opportunity to say Opportunity is dead a couple of times in the Trump administration, which is just, you know, something fun to sneak into conversation. But no, so this was the Opportunity rover. This was something that was put on the Martian soil about 15 years ago, was only expected to monitor the environment for about 90 days, and then ended up lasting 15 years. So NASA today, after losing contact a number of weeks ago following a huge dust storm that ended up blocking out the solar panels on there, officially lost contact and have officially declared it to be dead, which is, you know, it's a piece of machinery, but has certainly had a good level of emotional outpouring for something that, you know, didn't have emotions and whatnot. This is, you know, a pretty sad story for, you know, a piece of machinery that has taught us a lot about Mars, namely how it used to look in the old days, showed that it used to be habitable, used to have water, used to have a sustainable environment. And then it's changed. So it's a sad little science story. And also, you know, it's always fun to say Opportunity is dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, get used to it, because we're going to be mourning a lot for, you know, as AI comes more and more online, there's going to be a lot more, I don't know the right word, affection for machines. So we're going to, you know, kind of like, you know, like pets. I mean, we're now going to have, you know, I remember when I was a kid, they had pet rocks and people used to walk around with rocks. And this is my pet rock. We're going to have pet, you know, AI things.
No, I had Tamagotchis, and I remember kids getting very bent out of shape about that. So I guess we can kind of put that with there as well for this one.
All right. Well, so sad to hear Opportunity dead.
Opportunity dead.
Sad stuff.
It's kind of the theme of your show most nights, I feel like.
Ouch. Wow, I thought we were friends.
That came out way meaner than I meant it. You know I love it.
Well, there's a great place to end you. Thanks so much, Justin.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, Justin Duckham, Talk Media News. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people come to talk.